It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 25. We're going to begin reading with verse 27 and read through the end of that chapter and then most of the 26th chapter this morning. So please that you would open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. As you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Our mailing email address is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Begin reading now at Genesis chapter 25, verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men in the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. How sayest thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of thy people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence, and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. And Abimelech went to him at Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning, and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Let's end there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time of study. And we've read many verses of your word today. And please that you'll guide and lead us as we enjoy this study. I love your word. I love every part of your word. And I love studying it. I love proclaiming it. Now please, Lord, that you will help us to see exactly each part that you will have for us. It's so important, Lord, that we know what you want to show us, because it is your living word, and you know what we're going to need for tomorrow if you give us tomorrow. And so, Lord, please prepare our hearts, show us exactly what we need, and we know for certain, Lord, that we need salvation. We need to come by faith to you, Lord. If there are those that are listening, and I know that there are many that are listening that have never come truly by faith, they have it in their mind, but they don't have it in their heart, Lord, because they have studied, they have searched, and yes, I agree in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but please, Lord, to confess with thy mouth, but to believe in thine heart. Please, Lord, please bring them. And they can't come just on their own merit or on their own way. It has to be your work. You have to draw them. And so when they feel that convicting power, the presence of you in their heart, showing them their sin, and they confess that sin to you, asking to be forgiven of it, Father, we know that you're faithful, and you will save them, and your sweet spirit, he will go in and live forever in the heart of that believer. Please, Lord, touch every heart, whatever the need might be today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we finished up pretty well the 25th chapter last time we were together, but I wanted to just back up just a little bit and take a look at what was going on here. And the sad thing is something that Esau did. He should have, his whole life should have been centered up on holding on to this birthright. That should have been the most important thing to him, to be the spiritual leader, to have the opportunity to take God's word and proclaim it to his family, to lead his family spiritually, to be the, and that had nothing, that was the furthest thing from Esau's mind. He didn't care anything about spiritual things. I know an awful lot of people, it's the same way. They have beautiful children, they have a wonderful family, and they have ignored this responsibility. And many times the wife or the mother is the one that has taken on this responsibility because the husband has neglected it. They don't want anything to do with it. And that is so sad, because if they truly love their family and desire the blessings of God upon that family and upon themselves, they would surrender to the will of God and begin to do the things of God. And one of those responsibilities is to see and to teach our children and our families the Word of God. Guide and lead them. Be the spiritual leader. Know the will of God and lead that family in the will of God. Well, Jacob, he desired to possess it, but you see, he didn't think it was his because he was the younger. The elder of the two always would get this, have this wonderful responsibility. Esau was the eldest. But Esau, you see, he was much more excited about going out to hunt. If it meant today, and you think about this, and think about all the people that are listening to this program, and you think about as the seasons change and as different hunting seasons open up, and you think about that, the days that someone misses being in the house of God, and things that you do that keep you out of the house of God on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you say, well, we don't have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Well, get someplace where they do, because you need that. You need that fellowship. You need that midweek feeding. You need to be thinking and meditating upon God's Word all day Sunday, and starting in the early morning and ending in the evening. And please that you set your heart and your life upon the Word of God. This Esau, he was like most people, and I know many of them, that it comes Sunday morning, they get that old gun out, and they head for the woods, and or they head for the river, or they go fishing, whatever the season might be, whatever's common at the time, and they would much rather be out there hunting than they would be to bring their family and sit with their family and listen to the Word of God. Now, that's a shame, and men, you're going to be held responsible for that. And if you confess to be a Christian, you better take a look at that to see if you're truly saved. Because you're not leading your family at all. You have no desire for them to become spiritual. So please, I tell you, you look and you look carefully at your own salvation to see, are you saved? Because if you're not, you're going to hell. Esau here, he didn't care about any of that. He would much rather have the pleasures of today and give no thought for eternity, no thought for his descendants and his children as they watched him. And we find that the children of Edom, the land of Edom, is a very, very wicked, selfish, prideful land that all came from Esau and from his desires. Now, we need to back up just a little bit and put some blame where blame's due, because we find that Isaac at this time doesn't seem to be the spiritual leader. He would rather have the venison brought to him and prepared, and he loved that part of it. So, please, you look carefully and prayerfully at your own life and ask the Lord to show you what's important. Some of those other things are fun to do, but do never, never replace what your responsibility is as a believer in your home and in your church with those activities, because it'll never pay. It'll always cost you when you do that. Now, Jacob, on the other hand here, he didn't need to trick Esau out of that birthright, because you see, God had already given it to him. He didn't realize that. And even later on, Rebecca even joins into the trick to get a hold of this blessing and the birthright that comes with that. They didn't need to do that at all. And so, see, even those that desire to have it go about it in the wrong way sometimes. And so we just need to seek the Lord's will and walk with Him. Now, as we finish out the 26th chapter with saying that, we find that Esau felt himself at the point of death, which wasn't right. He wasn't that close to dying at all. He was just a little hungry. But that shows you the value of that birthright to him. The value of being the spiritual leader of that house meant nothing to him. It meant nothing. And that's so sad that it meant nothing, literally nothing to him. Just if you'd have said that, give me that birthright. And Esau would have said, I'll give you a quarter for it. Esau said, well, sure, I'm going to die anyway. It doesn't matter. You see, that's the philosophy of the world. And it's so sad, Esau, to have that and to desire that. Well, Esau and Jacob come up with this deal, and Esau gave Jacob his birthright. And we'll see here in the end what it meant to Esau. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Didn't give it a thought, did he? Well, it's so sad, because I know many a man that does exactly the same thing. They don't give any thought to the need for them to know the Word of God. You men, to know the Word of God. You husbands, you fathers, know the Word of God and lead your family in the spiritual direction that's going to be a blessing into your family and not a curse. You wonder why I have so much trouble with the children, why I have so much trouble here. It's because you are not the spiritual leader. And there's a battle there, because the old devil wants our children to start with. And when he has the spiritual leader already on his side, those children are already owned by him. So please, man, let's straighten up, because I know many a man, that treats their walk with Christ Jesus exactly like that. Please change today. As life continued, there was a famine in the land. That famine, there was another famine in the time when Abraham was in had first gotten to the promised land, the land of Canaan. There was a famine, and we know that he went to Egypt. Now let's see what God has to say here about that. There was a famine in the land, verse 1, chapter 26, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Look at that beautiful promise that come from the Lord unto Isaac. But he tells him something here very clearly. He begins to move again. You know, and sometimes when things don't seem to be quite right, why, we immediately take it into our own hands to take care of it instead of waiting upon the Lord. Now, we find here that that's exactly what Abraham had done in the past, because he got into the land. God said, I'll give you this land. It will be fruitful for you. Well, the first time that things weren't quite the way Abraham thought they should be, then he immediately started to do his own thing. And he headed for Egypt, and he got in trouble down in Egypt. Well, we find Isaac followed the same pattern, even though Isaac was not even born when this took place. He still picked up the same habits, and it's worldly habits is what it is. It's all around you. Probably many other people were moving too. They said, hey, we're going down south. We're going to head for Egypt. And Abraham just joined him. Well, Isaac here probably did the same thing. The famine was very strong in the land, and Isaac had gained all of Abraham's wealth. And so he had a lot of people and a lot of stock to take care of. And so he thought, well, we'll just go down into Egypt and take care of it. On his way, God stopped him. And we find that he went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and to Gerar. And at this time, the Lord appeared to him because, see, if you look at the map, you'll find that that's kind of on the way to Egypt. And the Lord told him, he says, you know, don't go there. Don't go into the land of Egypt. Now, I have promised you that this land that I will bless you, we have the promise of the land, the promise of the nation, and the blessing. Those three things we have in verse 3 and 4 there. Again, I'll read it for you. But he stops Isaac before he can get down to Egypt. And he says, don't go there. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So we have the promise of the land, the promise of the nation, and we have the promise of the blessing that God is going to have. Now, all this was given to Isaac. Now, see, we had kind of jumped back and looked at Esau and Jacob. Well, now all of a sudden, which we really don't know a lot about Isaac, we have the section, the part there where Isaac meets his bride Rebekah. We have the miraculous birth of Jacob and Esau with Rebekah and Isaac. And then we come and we take this chapter here, and again, we have a repeat. And several things are repeated. Number one, Isaac does the same thing, only he doesn't get that far because God told him, don't go down there. So he didn't. He didn't. And so he dwelt in the area here with the Philistines. And up until this time, we have no reference that the Philistines, that there's any kind of a problem with the Philistines. There's no mention of it, that there is a conflict or anything, but we'll find that it comes, and this is the first time we hear much about it. Well, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and that's the fifth and sixth verse. Now, he gives him the promise, I'm promising you the land, the nations, and the blessings. Now don't go down to that land, to Egypt. Now, we're supposed to learn from our mistakes. Now, sometimes we're supposed to learn from God's Word. But many times when a mistake is made, I think God uses that for us to learn. Sometimes we learn and sometimes we don't. And here is a time that we see, even though this was something that was done before Isaac's birth, we find Isaac copying Dad, like father, like son. Have you ever heard that statement? Like father, like son. And even though Isaac wasn't with Abraham when he did these things, he seems like he is just copying him. He's doing the same thing. He headed towards Egypt when the famine hit instead of waiting upon the Lord. The Lord stopped him and says, don't go. Don't go down there. And he reminded him of the promise. And so he stayed there in Gerar. And he said, you know, these blessings, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so he was given the reason for this, the promise keeps being reminded and repeated to him. If you want this land, if you want my blessings, please that you obey my voice. You keep my charge. You keep my commandments. You keep my statutes and my laws. And so Isaac dwelled in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the man of the place should kill me for Rebecca, because she was fair to look upon. Does this sound familiar? Doesn't this sound like something we've had before? I believe that Abraham didn't do it once, but I believe he did it on two different occasions, that he went into a land, and he was so fearful of the people of that land, didn't trust in the Lord. Number one, he shouldn't have been there. Well, maybe Isaac's the same way. Isaac went down, leaving the promised land where he had originally lived, and he had moved into another. Now, this section of the Philistines and things like that, that is part of the land that God had promised them. And so he wasn't totally out of his area, but he was out of enough of an area that it caused a problem. And these people, the men here, they come to, and when Isaac and Rebekah moved into the area there, why, I guess she was a very beautiful woman. And Isaac got to watching how they were looking at her. And we got the same situation that Abraham did. Abraham saved his own neck and didn't care about his wife. Now, isn't that so sad? And that's so sad, and it's the same way here. Now we have Jesus Christ died for his church. He died for his bride. He gave his life that we can live. And we should be willing to do the same thing. Now here we find two very great men of faith. One in Abraham, and now the second in Isaac, his son, both repeating the same thing. And both doing it because they were fearful for their own necks. And each time, it's so sad that, look at the seventh verse again here. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, he said, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she is fair to look upon. And then we find down in the ninth verse, when he was confronted, he says, "Because I said, lest I die for her." Well, he should have been willing to die for her. You see, that should have been his place. He's the spiritual leader of that home. He's the leader, and he should do everything in his power to protect his family. And instead of that, we have him copying once again exactly what his father did. You know, as we enjoy this word and we look to this word, we find many things that are repeated. And sad to say, some of the things are not the things that bring honor and glory unto the Lord. And that's exactly what we have here. We have something here that didn't bring honor and glory unto the Lord at all. He had to stop him from going on into Egypt. And even then, where he was, he repeated the same lie. Now, in Isaac's case, it is a full lie. Now, Abraham, he kind of told a half a lie. Now, you tell me what the difference is, whether it's a full lie, full-blown lie, or it's a half a lie. I don't know that matters much. A lie is a lie. And here we have Abraham. And he said about Sarah, "She's my sister." Well, that was a half-truth. And we talked about that. Now, with Isaac, there is no truth to it at all. It was his own neck he was trying to protect. "She's my sister, for he feared to say, 'She is my wife,' lest he said, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah." You see, he didn't care about his family. He didn't care about his wife. He cared about himself. Now, even Isaac and even Abraham have a time that they lose that faith, that strength of that faith. And we need to look to the Word of God. We need to desire the Word of God, that we may have the strength and the wisdom of what to do and what to say. And it should not be, "Oh, she's my sister," in that way. Now, what did that do for Rebekah? What's that say to her? Does that say, "Hey, I am proud to stand with my husband. I am proud to stand that he is a spiritual leader of our home, and he is a great leader. Instead of that, and I praise God that God has sent him, instead of that, she's my sister, do with her whatever you want to. Well, it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah. We're not sure what that really means, if they were just playing back and forth, but it was enough that he recognized that was not his sister, that was his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. Thou sayest, she is my sister." Now, we're going to end right there. We're out of time. It just moves so quickly. And we're going to continue to look at this little bit of a lie that was presented here just a little bit next time. And then we'll continue on into to the digging of the wells. And that may not seem important to you, but I hope that we'll show you something that you'll really enjoy next time we have a chance to get together. My dear friend, I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, ask Him into your heart today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?